Well, I hate to say it, but I've got this very uneasy feeling going on right now. Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. And I've got a feeling that this program is going to easily run into the Tuesday edition before it's over. With some of the stories that I have in front of me, they may not seem like they're really related, but trust me, they really are. And you need to understand where we are. Here we are. This is the last week of the month of October. Friday, this Friday, marks November the 1st. And a week from tomorrow is Election Day here in the United States. Though we've been warned we may not know the results for days because, you know, it's just so overwhelming in states like Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Arizona to count their votes. The other states can do it. They can get it done in hours. But apparently, Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona, they're already warning you, we may not have the results. You know, they got to figure out some kind of plumbing disaster like they did in Georgia just about 4 years ago. Oh, we have a flood. We got to get out of here. I feel a bad moon rising. I thought about that the other night. That old song, Bad Moon on the Rise. Something is wrong here in the United States. And it feels horrible. It feels awful. It feels demonic. It's pure evil, what we are witnessing. And I'm going to just share, like I say, a few random stories today and some thoughts on my mind that you really need to comprehend. There are a lot of stories that the media is virtually just totally ignoring. And this includes a lot of the conservative media, and I find that troubling because some of these stories will have a very long-term impact on how we survive here in the United States, and people are just ignoring it. It's like all we need to do is have an election and everything's fixed. Both sides figure they can save the planet, save everything if you just vote for us. And the problems are so much deeper. And deeper even on a global scale. Now, do I trust the upcoming election to be fair, honest, and full of integrity? You better believe I don't. I'd be a total idiot if I believed that there'd be no cheating and everything would be fine and you can trust the machines. No, I don't trust any of it. We have been living under a deep state influence for ages. I pointed it out last week that we have been gradually being made accustomed to our digital prisons. Everything we do is controlled. We don't have the freedom we had just 30 years ago, 50 years ago in particular. We don't have those freedoms anymore. We're under constant surveillance. And we have a government now that is full of liars, thieves, reprobates, pedophiles, as far as I can, I'm sure of it, drug addicts, just sleazy people that are in charge of bureaucracies all over the United States. They're involved with the Justice Department, the FBI, the FBI. These people are scum. Christopher Wray. I mean, let's go back just 4 years ago. Remember, Comey had been fired. Christopher Wray is now the head of the FBI. Let's go to 2019, just for a moment. The Hunter Biden laptop. The poor guy in that shop in Delaware realized that he had this laptop that was abandoned, which means under the law, and I don't care what anybody at Mind Syphilis NBC ever claimed that he stole it. No, It was abandoned, and under the law, after so many days of being notified and failing to pay for it and come get it, you lose it. That is the law. Sorry, MSNBC. You people do not understand the law because it's, well, way above your pay grade, and you're overpaid as it is. And in looking at the laptop, he discovered some stuff that was pretty bad. He was smart enough not just to hand the laptop over, but to, well, back up the contents. And that backed up contents, because he didn't trust the FBI, and I wouldn't either, ended up in the hands of Rudy Giuliani. Why do you think that they're going after him, trying to make him homeless, take everything he owns and destroy him? Because he revealed truth against the Biden crime family. No more, no less. He exposed irregularities in voting and called it out. And that's why he was sued. And you had this election worker being defamed. And Rudy Giuliani has never had a chance to even respond. But some black-robed renegade filth of a judge, it's just determined without even a trial. We are coming into a time here in the United States where we are not going to have justice anymore. It's going to be justice like Nazi Germany, justice like Stalin's Russia, justice like you probably find in North Korea. We are becoming a third world banana republic with our rights and freedoms being stripped away by the most evil scum the world has ever seen running around in $1,000 suits with power and authority. And they have a mainstream media which they have carefully groomed like you groom somebody to be your sex slave. Well, that's what they've done. They made them really wealthy. Big contracts. And all you have to do is play ball and you too can be wealthy. Just sell your soul. That's all you have to do to be a newscaster today is just sell your soul. You want to work at MSNBC? Curse God. Just curse God, embrace evil, and celebrate sin, and be willing to lie on a moment's notice without a conscience, and they will soothe that hurting conscience with piles of money, fame, and make you just feel like you're royalty. Let's give you an idea. I want just some small examples, and I've got some stories if I get to all this stuff. You know, really quick, we're going to talk before the program is out today. Last week, there was a summit held, and there's a movement by many in the world to try to, well, replace the G7, which we're a member of, and the world may develop a banking system that excludes us. And if you think inflation and the economy is bad now, if the Harris administration comes into being and the Democrats have control, these syphilis-brained monsters have no comprehension of what's going to hit them because they're delusional. America will sink into a place that it's never sunk to before, and I doubt if we would ever see our nation celebrate its 250th anniversary. And I'll give you that story in just a little while. But just to give you an idea of how the media works, in just 3 years, this is just a small example, and I want you to follow with me. You remember when the Biden administration took over, there were a bunch of, you know, presidential orders that were written and things were changed. And all of a sudden, the border was opened up. And some people began to notice a lot of people coming in from Guatemala through Mexico and other nations in Central America and even parts of South America making their way up. And they were coming across the border unvetted. You know, they used to complain that, well, Trump put kids in cages. Well, that was Obama that did that, just to make it clear. We are now missing, what, 80,000 kids? Where are they? Nobody seems to know. Nobody seems to care. And early on, just to pacify those that were making noise, President Biden was told by his handlers that, hey, appoint Kamala Harris in charge of the border. Now, this was good for two reasons. Number one, nobody likes Kamala Harris at that White House. Let's be honest. They never did. There was always a rift between the two. It was a marriage of convenience. Remember, in 2020, Kamala Harris dropped out before the first vote was cast because she knew she'd be pitiful in just the primary, let alone running for president. She was way in over her head. And all those mega millions of dollars that she was given was just wasted from her donors. But she has been groomed for a long time to check a couple of boxes, and it has nothing to do with her intelligence or her ability. They only need her to do two things. Check a couple of boxes for the DEI. You know, it's all about race and gender and be absolutely pro-abortion and anti-Christian. You have to do that. You need to fill that box. And be able to read a teleprompter. You don't even have to think on your own two feet. Just be able to read and pretend you believe what you're reading. And we will move you quickly through the system. You know, when you go back in time, and I saw a TV program last week, people like Ronald Reagan, they didn't get into politics, you know, until they were a little bit later in life, and then for 30 some odd years before they became president. The same with John F. Kennedy. Most of the politicians and people that became president had many, many years of being exposed to the public and gradually building the momentum to be able to run for a high office like the presidency. And that includes even Donald Trump. He'd been talked about by many people, including Democrats, back in the late 80s when he was in his mid-30s, that someday he would make a great president. Boy, how times have changed. How Oprah Winfrey has changed and so many others. And then in recent years, all of that's been turned on a dime. There was an unknown community activist by the name of, you know, Barry Sotelo, or Sotero, whatever. Barack Hussein Obama is what his given name is. Questionable about where he was born, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. He was thrust into, without an election, by the way, to being a state senator in the state of Illinois. And his entire record as a senator in the state of Illinois was basically voting present or not being there at all. In other words, he had no record. When it came time to fill a vacancy in the United States Senate, he was pushed in there rather quickly. And for just a tiny term, Barack Obama was made a superstar. He was being groomed in 2004 to run in 2008. And there we had in 2008 an untested, unvetted, unknown by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, who became the media darling and was pushed by the mainstream media and the corporate entities in the deep state. That was their guy, and they pushed him through. And you see it now. Look at Kamala Harris. She, let's be blunt, hate to say it, she slept her way to the top. She, in her 20s, when what's his name, you know, they got the mayor of San Francisco, he was like in his 60s, married with kids, and having an affair with this 20-something-year-old college grad. I love that video. You know, when others made their great appearance, you know, hers was being asked, are you Willie Brown's daughter? No, I'm not his daughter. Because she was seen at a party with him. That was her introduction to the world. And then they fast-tracked her into jobs she was terrible at, put her as attorney general, and then shoved her to the United States Senate, then the vice presidency, and without ever having a vote, she now is the Democrat candidate. She never got through a primary anywhere. They anointed her queen of whatever. But we can't forget that at one time, Joe Biden, in order to, you know, calm down Americans about the issues suddenly appearing at the border, she was appointed the border czar. Let's go back and remember some news stories.
And out of the Biden presidency, President Joe Biden announced Vice President Harris will lead the effort to tackle a sudden surge of migrants at the U.S. southern border.
The announcement came as the federal government opened another emergency shelter to deal with the influx. CBS4's Danya Backus reports.
If you deal with the problems in the country, it benefits everyone.
President Biden is tapping his Vice President, Kamala Harris, to oversee U.S. diplomatic efforts to address the recent influx of migrants along the southern border.
While we are clear that people should not come to the border now, we also understand that we will enforce the law, and that we also, because we can chew gum and walk at the same time, must address the root causes.
South of the border, down Mexico Way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico Way.
Now, it didn't matter what network, what newspaper, what news source. Kamala Harris became the border czar. She was going to figure out the best way to handle this newfound problem with all these people coming across the border in unprecedented numbers, so many overwhelming, being released into the country. And she was pretty much considered the border czar, which is an informal term that is given to people put in charge of something big, which the border is. And it didn't matter what network it was. CBS called her the border czar. NBC did. Washington Post. Conservative media. Doesn't matter. She was the border czar. Hey, she's the vice president with not much to do. Give her something to do. And the border became the perfect job, because, see, they didn't like her to begin with. They wanted to keep the border open, so they figured if it all fails, blame her. I don't think anybody anticipated in 2021 that she'd even be considered to run for the presidency at any point in her career. But here we are. And I get it kicked. You know, it wasn't long after, and I remember playing it on this program like 3 years ago. She sat down with an interview with Lester Holt of NBC News, and they discussed, when is she going to visit the border? That became a question. She's been the border czar now for quite a while, and so when is she going to visit the border? Can you remember this exchange?
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
And we know now, in retrospect, that her entire appointment was a joke. It was to appease the people that were doing something, when the real plan all along was to bring in millions of unvetted people from all over the world and have them come to the United States, hopefully someday to be voters, so you can have a one-party system in this country. That's the goal. I don't care. You can say what you want, but that is the goal. And Kamala Harris was the stooge they put in charge of it. So if anything fails, they don't like her anyway. They were forced, I believe, and they knew this, I'm sure, by the end of 2023. It was going to be a hard sell to get Biden through a campaign and into a second term. Take a lot of cheating, which they don't think they could have pulled off. Enough people were recognizing that Joe is getting slow. You know, that's Uncle Joe, and he's moving kind of slow at the junction. and they knew they were in trouble. And so they were already, if you remember, and I mentioned this last year, did you notice that certain names were coming up to maybe replace Kamala Harris on the ticket? This is where, you know, all the speculation, Gavin Newsom, Michelle Obama, Gretchen Whitmer, and others, you know, these names are being tossed around. That maybe Joe should go, and maybe one of these should take over. And trust me, Gavin Newsom really was playing it, and he stopped when he realized this is a fool's errand. Because in order to, Joe Biden was not going to go quietly into the night. There was no doubt in my mind about that. He's not going to do it. And he recognized that Kamala Harris, she may not be that smart, but some of her people were, realizing we have an opportunity. All you have to do is tell Joe it's 25th Amendment time and you're out the door anyway, and you'll never be allowed to return, and it'll be an embarrassment, or you can step down and appoint me. Anything less, I'll destroy you on the way out the door. And I think that Joe Biden got pushed into a position to resign as much as he did not want to. Hunter Biden did not want Dad to leave, and Jill did not want to leave behind the White House plates and silverware. Hillary took them, but you know, but she didn't want to leave them. She wanted to stick around four more years. It just wasn't going to happen. And so Kamala became the only choice they had. It took Barack Obama several days to come along and come on board. But I guess that they have read her the Riot Act, and I wonder about what's going on in her campaign. She's took several days off, and then she did that less than 3-minute press conference to announce what somebody said allegedly 4 years ago, more than that, 5 or 6 years ago, never came out before. If it was going to be a big issue, and you know, wouldn't General Kelly have said something back in 2020? Or this woman that says, well, you know, hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein and back in 93 at Jeffrey's apartment, which he didn't own yet. I mean, all of this is the stuff. We are going to have nothing but unending mini October surprises to see what sticks, because there's not enough time with only a week and a day before the election to vet any of this stuff out, to debunk it. So I've, you know, thankfully I've already voted. I don't worry about it. I voted early because I knew this barrage was coming. And to give you an idea of how dishonest the news is, I'm going to play just a little few clips together. I think most of them are from MSNBC. And the first person from MSNBC is calling Kamala Harris a couple of years ago the border czar. But since she's been made the candidate, well, they got to deny that because the border's a failure. Listen to how these liars continue to lie and just make stuff up. Just do a 180 on it. You know, just turn around and say the opposite of what they just said, because they have no conscience. They have no morals. They have nothing. They are intellectually, moralistically, and journalistically bankrupt.
And this will be her first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border region since she was appointed as the border czar by President Biden.
People are going to have to counter the misinformation. You already hear folks talking about the border czar. She wasn't the border czar.
President Biden tapped Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, to be the border czar.
Now, she wasn't the border czar. That's what Republicans labeled her.
And I could probably play another 50 or 100 examples of the mainstream media, you know, pontificating that she's the border czar. And what a wonderful choice. And now saying she never was the border czar because they know the border's a failure. It's an issue in this campaign. It's an issue that hurts Democrats. Most people do not believe the Democrats are serious about the border, and that's true. Well, they are serious. They want it wide open. They want millions more in here. Look at Springfield, Ohio, and forget the idiotic city manager that should be fired saying, oh, it's no big deal. If you have a city of 50,000 and 20 to 30,000 people that do not speak your language arrive on your doorstep, and they have nowhere to live, and they're coming to your schools unable to speak English, yeah, it's a problem. But the fact is, you want to be politically accepted by the reprobates. The city of Springfield is screwed if that's their city manager. And people are getting fed up, and all they're being is ignored. It's just like going to a school board meeting with reprobates in charge of having your kid get raped in a bathroom. They deny it, and they think that something wrong with you to dare challenge our gender whatever policies. The reprobates are in charge of too much of the government, definitely at the federal level, increasingly at the state level, and now, scary, it's coming into many of the local cities as well. We're in a world of hurt. Now listen, I need to take a break here. And as we go into the break, I want to share a couple of thoughts, and then I've got some really important stories you've got to hear on the other side. And I don't think I'm going to get to all of them, but I'm going to try. Next week, we will have the election. And when we get past the election and we finally know from these states that claim they're incompetent, too incompetent to count votes because they're too retarded, I guess. Sorry, I'm going to call it the way I see it. Either you are able to do the job or the people you put in charge are mentally deficient and retarded and should be replaced, fired, whatever. Get people that can do the job. They can do it in a third world country. India, with more people, like a billion people, they can do an election with hand-filled out ballots. And they can have it done in one night. And you're telling me Pennsylvania needs several days? It's several days to cheat is what it is. And that's no, there is no excuse. There is zero excuse. But when we finally know the results, I'm going to have some serious decisions to make. My prayer is that we have an opportunity and we get a reprieve from this satanic federal government that is just vomitous, evil to the core, Moloch worshipers, earth worshipers, you name it. And we as Christians have an opportunity to redouble our efforts to share the good news of the gospel before the door closes again. However, if Trump should lose and Democrats take the House or and keep the Senate, which tells me the cheat will be on. I think, you know, I have to wonder, maybe Kamala's not on the campaign trail because she knows the fix is in. She's been assured. And I just have this really bad feeling. That's why I opened the program. I feel there's a bad moon rising. The floods in North Carolina, the hurricane, the damage, you know, anything to suppress the vote in conservative areas. You know, it can impact Georgia because of where it hit. It could impact North Carolina because it's the area outside of Asheville, North Carolina, the only blue pimple in a red area where the election in North Carolina can be turned a swing state. What direction does this program take if the election is stolen? I mean, that's the only excuse. I can't find people that support this witch. And that's what I consider her. A hardcore antichrist witch with her policies. She made it clear when she said you're at the wrong rally. If you're a Christian and you were at her rally, you're at the wrong rally. If you believe in Jesus Christ, but you're going to vote for Kamala Harris, you've already made your decision that you now reject Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. It's not that Trump is some kind of savior. I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But he's not a threat to your faith, your family, your finances, your future, and your freedom. Kamala's a threat to all of them. The cabal, the deep state, they're scared because this could be the end game. So if Trump should lose and Democrats take seats, the direction of this radio program and how we do it, how it's distributed, will have to radically change because it'll become a target. And so I have a lot on my plate. There are people that I plan to talk to and I've been talking to on alternate ways of distributing this program to get the word out. Right now, we're not a big deal because, you know, we're not a big internet thing like Joe Rogan. We're on short wave, and I doubt the typical millennial that works for the government has even heard of it. They barely even know about AM radio. Took a guy like George Soros in his 80s to remember that AM radio exists to buy a bunch of radio stations. But be that as it may, it'll mean some changes going forward. And the direction of what we're doing also changes. Because I know I got to get to this break. I'll just say this much. The greatest threat is not going to be to your finances. It's going to be to your faith and your freedom, and then your family as a result. I believe that we are seeing a demonic presence literally attempting with, they are attempting literally to take the United States into a very satanic direction. Neo-paganism. This is where it's going. And you can say what you want. I know that this coming Sunday, I've got to be careful because I'm going to avoid politics from the pulpit. I always have and always will. But there are some principles. You know, back 200 years ago, there was the Black Robe Regiment. These were fearless pastors, Bible believers, who also believed in freedom, freedom for individuals, this nation, and they were willing to preach it from the pulpit. You could do that until Lyndon Baines Johnson stopped it in 1954 when he was called out by a few conservative pastors. And so the threat has been there since 1954, 70 years. I pray that if we get a respite, that all of those regulations are overturned. Why should my voice, because I'm a Christian, be suppressed and only the leftist or a single point of view really allowed without challenge? If you believe in our ministry and understand what we're facing, we need your support to be prepared for what's going to happen come the beginning of next year and the changes we'll start making toward that end. Visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The leper culture coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're really gonna love in a moment. We have a culture and a value system that increasingly seeks to avoid pain at any cost. We have all sorts of medications, painkillers people take. We seek the most pain-free thing, quick fixes, or we try to eliminate the pain of inconveniences or of waiting. We have fast food. We don't want to even wait for that. So we have drive-through fast food, and then that, say that takes too long. We want to drown out the pain. It even affects Christian culture. And believers seek to live lives of no pain. But there's a problem with that. You see, a picture of lepers, it's a horrible picture. But the disease of leprosy itself, it's not about deformity so much, it's about what it does to the nervous system. It destroys the nervous system so a person's suffering is not felt. So they don't feel it anymore. If their hand is in the fire, they don't feel it. The hand is destroyed. If they have an infection, an open wound, they don't treat it, it becomes infected. That's the problem when a culture tries to avoid all pain. It becomes leprous. You see, if you seek to avoid all pain, you'll never live righteously. Righteousness involves pain. Truth involves pain. Sacrifice involves pain. A life of goodness involves some pain. See, pain is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing. It's created by God to alert you of something, like an oil light. You know, you have pain in your body, tell you something's wrong with it, to alert you so you can fix it. So you have pain in your soul to tell you something's wrong so you can fix it, so it can help you. So don't live your life seeking to avoid pain or seeking only for pleasure. Live your life seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Want more? Ask for The Crisis on CD. Now, the free gift for you, the most incredible, awesome Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You will love it. And Sapphire is guaranteed to give you the power of living a victorious life in God, all free. How do you get these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real name, Yeshua, and dial it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. It's 1-800, it's Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, and the number 1. Now, my friend, you're on this earth for a great purpose, to be a blessing. I invite you to join me in bringing the greatest blessing to the people of the world who need the gospel. This is the most incredible way your life can ever impact the world. Impact your generation through shortwave radio, blanket the earth. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A-1. You can write me direct. Here's the direct address. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip is 07644. That's the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Monday edition, last week of October, here of Truth to Ponder. And I want to share some stories real quick that are going on in the background that have been thoroughly overshadowed here in the United States and even in Canada, truly, because of the presidential election a week from tomorrow. Now, a lot of people have already voted, and so some of these October surprises are a little bit too late. And I have to wonder, some of these stories that we'll get into on tomorrow's program that I'm finding very worrisome. I mean, really troubling. There's some stuff out there that is just downright scary. But there are some other stories that set a stage. And if we continue the status quo of debt spending in the United States, inflation, which is nothing more than a stealth tax to feed the corporate and globalist beast and the money, you know, the money launderers, that's what it boils down to. I'm sorry, we gave away our sovereignty in the early 1900s under Woodrow Wilson. Number one, we came up with the Federal Reserve and handed over our treasury to the bankers. They did that at Jekyll Island, Georgia. That's why they call it the creature from Jekyll Island. We then came up with the income tax, something that increasingly I think Donald Trump is trying to consider. Maybe we need to get rid of it because it's a way of controlling people more than anything else and scaring and forcing you into submission. That was the 16th Amendment, and it was sold to the American people as a big fat lie. It's only a 1% tax on incomes over $100,000. It's every dollar after the first 100 grand gets taxed 1%. Well, considering that many Americans made $1,000 to $2,000 a year, it wouldn't affect them. How many people made 100 grand a year? How many made 50 or even 20 or even 10? $10,000 a year, you were like a millionaire. And so this lie was sold to the American people by the bankers to have an income tax. And it didn't take long before everybody was caught in its net. And then the other thing to destroy the voice of the states, the 17th Amendment, the direct election of senators, which was the biggest mistake ever done and ever falsely sold to the American people. The states had the right to keep the federal government from growing like a cancer. And that was stripped away. And now we have this federal behemoth that runs you over, and run now by globalists. Now, last week, there was a summit. It's called BRICS. You know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and many other nations now. Business Insider noted it, but most mainstream news sources never even mentioned it. You know, Putin has spent a long time championing the idea of de-dollarization, but a new reality is setting in. It's not so much that they want a new currency to compete with the dollar. It's more ambitious. Last Wednesday, Bloomberg kind of ran a story, that headline that says the IMF sees growth shift toward BRICS and away from G7 in new outlook. Now, the G7 had long been the world's biggest and most influential economic alliance. It consisted of what? The United States, Japan, Germany, France, UK, Italy, and believe it or not, the economic powerhouse of Canada. The group of seven used to be the world's biggest economies, but not anymore. In the last 6 months, BRICS now, this organization, has surged ahead of G7 with our inflation and our decarbonization and our green new scams and deals. And what is rather scary is that this BRICS movement is surpassing the G7 without whatever the BRICS are doing with their collective financial systems. But once that comes online, the G7 will increasingly become less relevant on a global scale. And the end result proceeds directly from Joe Biden's hysterical anti-Russia sanctions. Business Insider said BRICS isn't anti-dollar, but all the sanctioning by the smaller G7 countries is pushing the larger BRICS economic group to becoming an alternative, and one that is increasingly becoming attractive to nations across the globe. You know, when you got a country that has been famous for destabilizing other nations, just look at Ukraine. We caused unrest in 2014 during the Obama administration. We caused a coup. We caused a revolution. We did it. The people of Ukraine were well on their way as a sovereign nation for the first time in history since, well, they became it in 1992. A corrupt nation full of money laundering, a lot of different groups trying to be one, and they were well on their way. And we didn't like that stable. We didn't like them being stable. It's not good for our military industrial complex. So we had to screw around and mess it up. That's what we did. We just screwed around and messed it up. And then we put in one of our clowns, and then now we got a comedian that's under our rule. It's going to be a real problem. You know, imagine a rotten little kid at a birthday party refusing to let kids he doesn't like ride the rented pony that his parents bought. The U.S. is trying to force countries to do things that they don't want to do. They're trying to tell other nations that they got to adopt the trans nonsense. And I shared a story last week on that, that, you know, it's a complete fraud. This is destroying children. They never, you know, boys never really become girls. They become freaks. And girls never become men and never can reproduce. A lot of what being a man and a woman is just destroyed by these puberty blockers, surgery, and evil doctors that should have their medical licenses burned, and they should be banned from medicine and probably put in prison. We now have a world that is getting a little bit ticked off at the United States messing in their affairs. They don't need the United States saying that men should be allowed to compete in women's sports and men should be allowed to go into women's bathrooms and little girls need to be worrying about men coming into their bathrooms too because it's the right thing to do according to the bankrupt, morally United States. You know, Russia is cut off from SWIFT. That's a way of moving currency worldwide because of U.S. sanctions. And $30 billion of Russia's money was seized. Russians are not happy about that. And what they're going to have is going to be a currency based on gold and real standards. Right now, the United States currency, the global standard, look at your dollar bill. It doesn't say gold or silver or anything tangible. It says the good faith and credit of the United States. Have you ever seen somebody that never pays their bills, that's constantly late, the electricity is always being cut off, the water is always being cut off, their credit score is so low it's an embarrassment? That's the United States right now. We are not a credit-worthy risk. It's not a credit score of 300 or 400 or 500. It's probably close to zero. It can't handle its debt. Now, I've asked Frank Silvato to share with us, as we are getting close to the election, some of the thoughts that are on his mind that he shares with his audience. And so, Frank, the microphone is yours. Welcome to Truth to Ponder again.
No fear. No political correctness. No wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, and sharing. My name is Frank Salvato, and you're spending a few moments in Underground USA. As we get down to brass tacks where the issue of the election and voter fraud is concerned, many people are asking what can be done to reduce the chances of voter fraud taking place, and especially what we can do to make sure that none of the 10 million to 20 million illegal immigrants now in our country vote illegally in our election. It's always smart to explore who should be notified when you witness voting irregularities at the polling place. You can determine the proper chain of communications by contacting your county election commission, county district attorney's office, and/or state election authority. Put these contact cards on your cell phone for immediate and easy access. But there's one entity that can be lobbied to action with the authority to act in real time. That authority is your county sheriff. Sheriffs in the United States hold a unique position within the framework of law enforcement due to several factors. Typically, a sheriff's primary jurisdiction is countywide. This includes unincorporated areas of the county and any municipalities that contract with the sheriff's office for law enforcement services. Unlike city police, whose jurisdiction ends at city limits, sheriffs have authority across the county. This can sometimes lead to overlapping responsibilities with other authorities, with sheriffs often taking a superseding role. Sheriffs are responsible for a broader range of duties than typical city police officers. These duties include operating county jails, providing security for courthouses and county buildings, serving warrants and court documents, law enforcement in areas not covered by municipal police, and sometimes acting as coroners or conducting autopsies, particularly in less populated counties. Recently, sheriff's authorities have expanded and become particularly notable for several reasons. Sheriffs are predominantly elected officials, which gives them a direct mandate from the public. This election process can lead to a greater degree of independence from local government oversight compared to appointed police chiefs, allowing for more discernment in how the sheriff enforces laws. The role of sheriff dates back to medieval England and has a legacy of broad authority. In the United States, this role has adapted but retained significant power, especially in rural areas where the sheriff might very well be the most prominent or only law enforcement presence. And court rulings have occasionally affirmed or expanded the powers of sheriffs, like in cases where sheriffs have challenged federal laws, or when their role in local law enforcement has been upheld against encroachment by other agencies. This brings me to my overarching point where the authority of our county sheriffs is concerned: immigration enforcement. Some sheriffs have taken on roles in immigration enforcement, especially in border states or counties with significant immigrant populations. Their involvement can range from cooperating with federal immigration authorities to actively detaining undocumented immigrants, which has expanded their role significantly in recent years. The authority of a sheriff over an election polling place in the United States can be understood through several lenses. A sheriff or their deputies are often responsible for maintaining peace and order at polling places. This includes preventing disturbances, ensuring that no one is intimidated or obstructed from voting, and dealing with any criminal activity, such as voter intimidation or disruption. They might be present or have deputies stationed at polling places, especially in contentious elections or areas with a history of electoral disputes, to ensure that the voting process is conducted smoothly. While the primary enforcement of voting rights might fall to election officials or federal authorities in cases of significant violations, sheriffs can ensure that local and state election laws are followed. This includes addressing issues like illegal campaigning too close to the polling place, or ensuring that only authorized individuals are in areas where voting occurs. Sheriffs can enforce laws against electioneering at or near polling places, which involves campaigning or trying to influence voters within a certain distance from where voting occurs. If any criminal activity occurs, like assault, voter fraud, or significant disruption, sheriffs have the authority to make arrests or detain individuals until further legal action can be taken. Sheriffs often coordinate with elected officials. While election officials manage the voting process, sheriffs support it by ensuring the environment around voting is safe and lawful. They might respond to calls from election judges or clerks regarding any issues that require law enforcement. Now, it's important to note here that sheriffs don't have authority over the election process itself. They can't administratively decide who can vote, count votes, or interfere with the voting or tabulation process. Their role is protective, but law enforcement related. Sheriffs must also be aware of federal laws regarding elections, including the Voting Rights Act, which prohibits racial discrimination in voting. Their actions at polling places must not infringe on anyone's civil rights, but this authority also includes preserving the sanctity of the ballot box, which includes guarding against the illegal dilution of the citizens' votes. In all honesty, a sheriff's ability to thwart illegal immigrants from committing voter fraud can be as simple as maintaining a presence outside the polling places and very publicly issuing preemptive statements that election law, including the prevention of illegal ballots being cast, will be enforced regardless of what either political party has advocated for. In the end, we the people don't necessarily need to wait for our corrupt federally elected officials to overcome their deep state masters and pass meaningful election reform laws that actually defend citizens' rights to vote and the sanctity of the ballot box. All we need are sheriffs with balls. My name is Frank Salvato, and you can read all my articles and listen to the podcasts at undergroundusa.com. Now back to Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
You're listening to Underground USA.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Some way out of this mess, we must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states,
and ransom my future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Greatest fear is with each passing year, it gets increasingly more difficult to put the United States and Canada back on the right track. We are going to come to a point where the evil-minded people that curse God will far outnumber any other group. And those that still care about their family, their faith, their freedom, their future, all of it, will become the minority. They'll be the increasingly dependent group that depends on the government to care for them in all aspects, cradle to grave, if you ever get to the cradle, because many will be aborted along the way. There's an evil that is permeating the United States. It has gotten into our governments. It has gotten into our schools. It has gotten into our churches. Many formerly Bible-based churches are now apostate. Well, synagogues of Satan, that's what they've become. So I recognize this radio program is going to be going through a metamorphosis. One way or the other, after we know the results of next week's election, a lot of praying is going to be going on in the background. And how do we continue going forward? Do we increase the podcast footprint, the radio footprint, both? Do we retreat and have our own platform down the road sometime in the next year or two? There's a lot on my mind. And that's why I ask you to pray for me. I'm just going to say it. I pray that I can find somebody to join with me eventually as a co-host. I'm 70. And if this program continues even clandestinely, it's going to need more than just me. And so I'm praying that God will raise up people to take on some of the work that I do. If you believe in this work, would you consider visiting our website, truth2ponder.com? You can support us using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, Chilhowie, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. We'll pick all this up again tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.